John chapter 17, verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from thee. And they believed that thou didst send me. Now I want to focus on verse 9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And this is the word of the Lord. Friends, I want to particularly focus this morning on verse 9, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that he is praying for us. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world. What does that do to you when you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ sits beside the heavenly throne, continually making intercession on your behalf? Praise the Lord. We could turn, we won't turn, but we could turn to Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 and understand there that the scripture says he always lives to make intercession for them. We could go to Romans chapter 8 verse 34 and understand that it is Christ now who sits at the hand of God and who always intercedes for us. And we need to keep in balance, I think, this whole business of our prayers being offered to God, because unless Christ was there taking our prayers and then bringing them to the Father, our prayers would be of no value. True? And quite frankly, friends, my prayers are of no value anyway. It doesn't matter how nicely we put words together, unless the Son interceded on my behalf, then the words stop here. Is that not true? Would you look at verse 20 also of John 17, where he says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Isn't it? We have believed in the word of the Lord through the succeeding generations. And we have had much talk in these assembly days of our responsibility to make sure that the next generation has the opportunity to believe through our words. Isn't that what evangelism is all about? Isn't it? I'd like to spend these few moments with your eyes on your Bible as we look now at the five things that Jesus prays for on our behalf. First of all, in verse 11, and he says this, he says, I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee. Now this is the first prayer request on our behalf that the Son makes beside the Father. He says, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we. And while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And there's the first prayer that our blessed Saviour makes on our behalf. Holy Father, keep them in thy name. Now we gain from verse 12, which I took the liberty to read, that the keeping of his people in the name of the Father is for protection. Did you notice that? And Jesus says, Father, I've kept them in your name and they have been saved, these men, except for one, but that was so the scripture could be fulfilled. And I wonder, as I share with pastors and leaders here today, whether it's our responsibility to come as one who keep the flock in the name of the Father so that they too might be protected. And as we come and we keep people in the name of the Father, there is unity, that they might be one as we, the Son and the Father, are one. And I suggest to you that while our eyes are on the Father, then we're on the road. Wouldn't you agree? And when we're looking at one another, then there's problems. And then we're off the track. And our responsibility as leaders, as the Son prays for us, is that we might be kept in the name of the Father. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And the whole purpose of the coming of the Son was to bring us to the Father. The second thing that Jesus prays for is in verse 17. I beg your pardon, verse 15. He says this, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. And my Bible has inserted, and you might notice that it's in italics, but it has the evil one. There has been talk already, this assembly, of the overemphasis and overfocus on the evil one. And here we have a beautiful prayer that the Son of God makes continually on our behalf as he sits beside the Father. He says, to keep them from the evil one. A prayer of protection over his people. It's interesting at that point, and I haven't the time to dwell on it, but it's interesting, and you might like to go home and think a little, how Jesus prays and he says, do not take them out of the world. Leave them there. And isn't that the ministry of walking with the Lord? We don't get plucked out of the situation. It's the power of the indwelling Spirit of the Lord that takes us through the situation. Amen? Jesus prays, Lord, leave them there because they've got a job to do. But while they're there, protect them from the evil one. Now our theme this assembly, brother, I've appreciated it. Let's take God seriously. And I suggest to you that we need to hang on that verse. Amen? The Son sits always on your behalf beside the Father. And he prays that we might be protected from evil. Have you claimed that protection? We had a brother that shared last night about how there's a group going to get him when he goes to the high school. Have you prayed for the protection of the Son? Do we give too much credence to Satan and too much airtime? Was that the word our general superintendent used? And rather we should dispatch him to where he belongs. The third thing that Jesus prays for, I could get really wound up here this morning, brother, but I better be careful, is verse 17. Look at verse 17. We probably know this verse off by heart. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, friends, we could dwell on this all day, couldn't we? The Son sits beside the Father and asks that we might be sanctified. Set apart, made holy. How? There's only one way, and that's in the truth of the word. And you know, the entering of thy word brings light, but it does more than just bringing light, it brings a purging with it, does it not? It brings cleaning. It brings conviction. It brings the whole process that we call, and sometimes fail to understand, the process of sanctification. The ongoing process, day by day by day, of the Spirit of the Lord, through the Word of the Lord, setting us apart for the ministry of the Lord. And the Son sits beside the Heavenly Father and he says, sanctify them. Set them apart, make them holy. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The ordination service last night touched me because it brought back memories, I guess, of my ordination service, but it touched me when the ordinands were asked to again to reaffirm their belief in the book. Do you? You know, there's books upon books upon books, and it was Solomon said to the writing of books, there is no end. And the continual reading of them is a weariness of the soul. And today we can read books about the book and never read God's book.